this morning on WCHL. As the fallout continues from the Weinstein Report, former Carolina football player Michael McAdoo has filed a class action lawsuit against the university. Your votes could win Hillsborough the coveted title of coolest small town in America.
I like to think of it as we're just setting a good example, because there's a lot of cool places. It really is about neighborhoods and people coming together.
There's one of the coolest small town mayors in America. And the Chapel Hill Town Council will discuss a plan to improve the intersection of Fordham Boulevard and Ephesus Church Road when the council meets tonight. A lot of room for improvement there. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Car Road traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports this morning, but the Carolina football team enjoying a bye week. The rest of the Tar Heel athletes offered up a mixed bag of results on a mighty busy sports weekend.
The News and Observer is at it again. What a surprise.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL, we have 36 degrees in Chapel Hill. A little bit on the chilly side this morning. It will be nice later on in the day. Lots of sunshine, high today in the middle 60s. Good weather for tonight with a low in the low 40s. And then tomorrow, Veterans Day, just about perfect. Partly sunny with a high around 70. As the fallout continues from the Weinstein Report, former UNC football player Michael McAdoo has filed a class action lawsuit against the university. The lawsuit says UNC denied McAdoo a quality education by steering him into fraudulent classes in the African and Afro-American Studies Department. McAdoo is one of the football players declared ineligible back in 2010 for getting improper benefits, including improper assistance on papers. He filed suit against the school then as well to restore his eligibility, and it was that lawsuit that led to the discovery of the AFAM scandal when bloggers on an NC State site noticed that McAdoo had plagiarized one of the school papers he had submitted as evidence to the court. The current lawsuit was filed in Charlotte just last week. More than 3,000 students, about half of those athletes, took those bogus paper classes in the AFAM department during the 1990s and the 2000s. The NNO reports that the players on the NCAA champion 2005 basketball team, which included many AFAM majors, took a combined total of 35 paper classes during the 2004-2005 academic year alone. Art Chansky has more on this coming up in just a few minutes in today's Sports Notebook. Chapel Hill Town Council will discuss a plan to improve the intersection of Fordham Boulevard and Ephesus Church Road when the council meets tonight. The roadway redesign aims to fix one of the most congested intersections in town and make it easier to get in and out of Rams Plaza Shopping Center. If the council approves this plan, town officials will need to get rights of way and public access easements from property owners on both sides of Ephesus Church Road and along Fordham Boulevard at Rams Plaza. The cost of the first phase of improvements is estimated to be $2.8 million. The town will find out next month if the projects qualify for funding from the North Carolina Department of Transportation. The council will also hear an update on UNC's development plans on the main campus as well as Carolina North. The council meets at 7 o'clock tonight in council chambers at Chapel Hill Town Hall. Your vote could win Hillsborough the coveted title of coolest small town in America. With its thriving food scene, community spirit, and a host of literary luminaries, a lot of cool things about Hillsborough. Mayor Tom Stevens says Hillsborough sets an excellent example of how rich small town life can be.
I like to think of it as we're just setting a good example, because there's a lot of cool places. It really is about neighborhoods and people coming together and taking the good things that you have and how can we accentuate those, how can we make things better.
Hillsborough is currently in the lead in Budget Travel's nationwide online contest, ranking towns with populations under 10,000. You can nominate a town until December 2nd. After that, the list will be narrowed down to 15 frontrunners. The winning town will be announced in February. Stevens reminds all Orange County residents, your vote can help shine a light on a local gem.
Go vote for Hillsborough. We've been in the lead for a good while, and you can vote every day.
You can find a link to the contest at our website, chapelborough.com. The town of Chapel Hill and Launch are teaming up to host an event called GovCups to initiate creative ideas and services to help government. GovCups is modeled after an event called 1 Million Cups, which promotes innovative ideas in business. Chapel Hill Organizational Effectiveness Coordinator Ray Buckley says GovCups is designed to encourage local government employees to explore different ways of thinking and creating ideas.
When I go to a 1 Million Cups event, what I see is an entrepreneur who has identified a problem or a gap and is presenting a solution to it. And I think that that's a side of the brain that we want our employees and all of us to be using as we go about our day-to-day business.
Two pitches have been selected to present at the event. The town invites members of the community to participate in the event by using the hashtag GovCups, live tweeting the event and asking questions during the question and answer session. The event will be this Wednesday at 9 a.m. at Chapel Hill Residence Inn. Founder and CFO of Three Birds Marketing, Lynn Walhaldo, will speak on being innovative, transparent, and open in a startup company. To learn more and to RSVP, contact Ray Buckley. Launch and RTP also host 1 Million Cups every Wednesday at 9 a.m. And again, all that contact information for Ray Buckley is available on our website in this story, chapelboro.com. Nearly 2 years after new owners took over the embattled Greenbridge development, all but six condos have now been sold. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more.
Betty Harbert is the executive vice president of the Marketing Directors, which handles Greenbridge's sales and marketing. She says just a half dozen of the 97 condos are still available, and the company is pushing a novel approach to get them sold by year's end.
Make us an offer, we'll make you a deal is our campaign to close out by the end of the year. The owners had a goal to sell out in 2 years, and we're on track to do that.
The 1, 2, and 3-bedroom condos start at around $350,000, but Harbert says price isn't the only negotiating point.
It's not just off price that we can take an offer, but we're looking at including some homeowners association fees as part of the deal, maybe a storage unit as part of the deal, maybe a little off price. So the offer can be a number of things. Because every home is unique, the offer is also very unique.
In addition, Harbert says only one of the ground floor retail spaces remains unoccupied. This marks a turnaround for the development, which has been embroiled in controversy since its conception. It was originally billed as Chapel Hill's most environmentally sustainable project, and while town leaders touted its green features, those in the nearby Northside neighborhood worried it would speed the pace of gentrification in the area, potentially driving out long-term residents. The site was plagued with bomb threats and vandalism. Then, the original investors got caught short in the housing and banking crisis. Shortly after opening in 2010, the development was foreclosed in 2011. Condo sales were put on hold for 2 years until Square Mile Capital Management, LLC, purchased Greenbridge in 2012. Harbert says the new owners put considerable time and money into making the project a success.
The owners gave a lot of capital to the building. They came in, built out a sales office. We've been there for the last 2 years, 7 days a week, 2 weeks a year.
Now, after four tumultuous years, Greenbridge is on track to fill the last remaining vacancies within the next 2 months. You can find out more on our website, chapelboro.com. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Another national election came and went last week, and when all was said and done, it was a very good night for Republicans across the country, even better than expected. Why do Republican candidates do so well across the board, and why do they outperform the pundits' predictions? WCHL's Aaron Keck spoke with public policy polling director Tom Jensen.
I think the biggest surprise nationally is how many governorships the Republicans won. Really, every single close governor's race ended up breaking to the Republicans, and some of them were in states where you just don't expect Democrats to lose, places like Illinois, Maryland. I think perhaps the craziest result of the night is that in Vermont, the state legislature is going to have to pick the governor because if nobody gets 50%, the legislature gets to pick the governor. And you know when Democrats couldn't even get to 50% in Vermont, that it was a pretty rough night for the party. What's interesting in the Senate picture, I think a lot of the races, it's a surprise that the Republicans won by as wide of a margin as they did. But the only race that actually is sort of surprising in terms of who won, sort of taking the margins out of the equation, is North Carolina. I mean, Kay Hagan was only up by one or two in the polls, but it really was amazingly consistent what a large percentage of the poll she'd had that 1 or 2 point lead in. But I think in the end, the undecideds just broke against the president, and Kay Hagan was the victim of that.
And I know the numbers are starting to come out comparing different polling places or polling outlets, and public policy polling did pretty good in this election cycle. How, as a pollster, do you determine, and I know this is a complicated question, who to survey ahead of an election?
Well, that's a really good question because, you know, we did come out second or third in the pollster ratings, but I'm still not very happy with our polls. They were not nearly as good as they had been in previous election cycles, even if they look okay on the curve. Who we were calling for the elections this year were people who had voted in at least 2 out of 3 of the 2008, 2010, and 2012 general elections. And what that means is we were calling people, you didn't have to have voted in a midterm election before. If you just voted in both the 2008 and 2012 presidential elections, you still sort of made it through our screen. And I think the reason we overestimated Democrats across the board may have had something to do with that. I think if we had it to do over again, we'd maybe call people who voted in both 2010 and 2012 to ensure that you had a history of voting in midterm elections in the past. But sort of what's interesting for pollsters to think about is the things that we might change because our polls weren't so good in 2014 might make our polls worse in 2016, because it's just a reality that now in American politics, your midterm election and your presidential election have fundamentally different electorates. So you almost have to think about how to make adjustments on sort of a 4-year cycle instead of a 2-year cycle.
We're speaking with Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling, and pollsters were calling for the most part North Carolina for Kay Hagan and some of those other races. Republicans ended up winning by a larger majority, or Democrats ended up winning by less of a majority than they were supposed to. And that was the case really across the country. So in your surveys, what were the reasons for that? Why were voters voting the way that they did?
Well, I think there's a couple of things to sort of explain why the polls ended up being off. One thing that's interesting, and I'll use North Carolina to illustrate it, is that among the voters who were undecided on our final North Carolina poll, only 10% approved of President Obama, 70% disapproved. And if you took our final poll and just added all the undecideds, if you decided the undecideds were going to break the way they felt about the president, so if they approved of Obama, they'd vote for Hagan. If they disapproved of Obama, they'd vote for Tillis. That would have taken Hagan from leading by 2 points in our final poll to Tillis leading by 1 point in our final poll.
That is Tom Jensen in Public Policy Polling, speaking with WCHL's Aaron Keck. There's a lot more to that conversation. You can get it on our website at chapelborough.com, and you can also tune in tomorrow for more from Tom Jensen, including an early look ahead to the elections in 2016. WCHL News Time, 8:16. Time for traffic and weather together, and traffic brought to you this morning by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. Here's Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Looks like we're starting to see some crowded slowdowns on northbound Fordham Boulevard as you approach Manning Drive and continue on to 54. 40 eastbound also slow as you approach 751 through Highway 55. Northbound Durham Freeway slowing as you approach Briggs Avenue. And southbound is delayed as well as you approach I-40 from Cornwallis. If you see anything while traveling, you could be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelborough.
Incredibly well done. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
A look at traffic has been brought to you by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. The Saloon to Community Heroes is on December 11th. Nominate somebody you know to receive recognition for their volunteerism and commitment to our community. Visit carolinachamber.org/salute. Deadline for nominees is November 19th. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. It is 36 degrees right now, starting out really cool this morning, to say the least. Sunny skies, high today in the middle 60s. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 40s, not quite as cold. And then tomorrow, Veterans Day, partly sunny with a high of about 70 degrees. Another good day on Wednesday, mostly sunshine with a high in the upper 60s. A reminder, the Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance Carolina Basketball Bahamas, presented by Continental Tire. The Bahamas giveaway is happening tonight. The play for all the folks who are finalists in that contest. Somebody is going to go to the 2014 Battle for Atlantis over Thanksgiving weekend. You're going to begin opportunity to Go down there and see the Tar Heels play three times. Spend four nights in the Bahamas on Paradise Island. And the teams that are in that big tournament down there are Carolina, UCLA, Georgetown, Florida, Butler, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, and UAB. We're talking about some Major League College basketball, and that happens in the Bahamas over Thanksgiving weekend. Somebody out of all our finalists will be at R&R Grill tonight for the big drawing, will be there and enjoy that wonderful experience to watch Carolina basketball and to be in the Bahamas. And if you are one of our finalists, be there tonight by 6:30. That's when it all happens.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
News around town this morning. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. To commemorate the occasion, the Village Band of Chapel Hill will present a free concert at 5 p.m. at the Robert and Pearl Seymour Center on Homestead Road. They will perform patriotic songs, including America the Beautiful and Stars and Stripes Forever, as part of a longer program. It's free and open to all, a tribute to all our veterans. This Wednesday, Carbora Elementary School is holding a family marathon. It really is a full 26.2-mile marathon, but it's set up to give all families a chance to do it. Participating families pledge to walk or run a total of 25 miles in October and November, and then on Wednesday, they all join forces at the Carbora Elementary School track and cover the final 1.2 miles together. The last mile will get underway Wednesday at 1:30 in the afternoon at Carbora Elementary. And this week, students at Raskas Elementary School are collecting donations of non-perishable and canned foods for table. The food drive actually runs all year, but the grade level that brings in the most donations this week will get a field party. Donated items will go to local families, including some with kids at Raskas Elementary. Those are just a few of our news around town stories. You can get them all on our website at chapelboro.com. Time for WCHL Championship Sports, and we're going to start with what's happened this past weekend at Carolina, with the UNC football team enjoying a bye week. The rest of the Tar Heel athletes offered up sort of a mixed bag of results on a busy sports weekend. WCHL's Adam Moore reports.
UNC men's basketball coach Roy Williams says his team's hard work and practice paid off last Friday night against Belmont Abbey.
Well, we're much more gifted naturally than that team was, and we've been working pretty doggone hard in practice. We've been getting after them a little bit, and I thought the first couple of minutes we weren't really into it defensively, and then we were really good defensively and all.
Although Coach Williams was pleased with his team's 112-34 win, he did see some room for improvement.
Looked like a Model T Ford out there compared to the way I want them to run. And the reason I took those guys, we had Nate and Joel out there, and it looked like pedestrians. And that's such a reason, that's one of the things I jumped on them about. We need to run harder, got to get our big guys running more, but it's nowhere near where I want it to be, but I think we're going to get there.
Sophomore forward Isaiah Hicks says the Tar Heels keep the atmosphere light in the locker room.
Always be together, you know, in the locker room, playing games and all that, ping pong. And then you have Joel Kennedy, big goofballs, you know, just keep the team laughing and, you know, keeping them together.
Ping pong is one of the team's favorite ways to stay loose in the locker room. But even in ping pong, the Tar Heels keep it competitive.
Marcus, JP, you know, we had tiers, so tier one would be Marcus, JP, Hoots. Yeah, that's it.
UNC volleyball head coach Joe Segula was once again impressed by his team's effort following their 3-0 victory over Virginia Tech Sunday.
We've got a lot of weapons, and we were able to use them all tonight.
UNC sophomore tennis player Braden Schnurr captured the USTA ITA National Indoor Collegiate Championship Sunday with a 7-5, 7-6 win over Vanderbilt's Gonzalez Austin. But not all of the Tar Heel athletes tasted success over the weekend. The UNC women's soccer team lost 2-0 to Virginia in the ACC tournament semifinals Friday night. The men's soccer team lasted only 2 days longer as they fell 1-0 to Louisville in the ACC tournament quarterfinals on Sunday. Following the loss, senior forward Andy Craven realizes the regular season is over and that there are things to address before NCAA tournament play begins.
If anything, it was a good indication of where we need to be and where we need to work towards, and to know that, you know, we haven't arrived yet, we haven't peaked yet. As many goals as we scored, it doesn't matter. It's playoffs now, so it's kind of, you know, it's important to maintain the good stuff that we've done in the season and try to minimize the bad stuff.
Although not every Tar Heel was victorious over the weekend, the ultimate prize of a national championship is still within reach. Adam Moore, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thanks, Adam. It's 823 at WCHL. What a weekend for high school football. Orange High School has an outstanding football team. Coach Pat Moser joins us now. And Coach, I know your team was undefeated going into this past Friday night, but so was the opponent, Southern Durham. If you would, take just a moment to recap what happened in that game on Friday night, and also just a quick look back at the season you've had so far.
Well, of course, Southern Durham's ranked number one in the state for a reason. A very good team, and we did have an 11-point lead with about 4.5 minutes to go, and somehow lost. That I think goes to one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen play, in Kendall Hinton. He got the ball back with 4.5 minutes to go and drove his team down the field, and they scored, and they were able to try an onside kick and get it. The ball did. We got our hands on the ball, but it squirted out, and they were able to get the ball. And Kendall took their team down the field again and scored with, I don't know, about 2 minutes left. What? And we could not get anything going, and time ran out on us.
Well, you know, they say that great teams find a way to win, and your team has done that all season long, and it's been quite a season so far. I know you're really proud of your guys.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't be more happy. You know, they worked extremely hard in the off season, and you know, I'm a firm believer that the more you put into something, then the more it means to you. Our guys were upset after the game on Friday, understandably so. The coaches were too, because there's a lot of time, a lot of hours that go into trying to win these games. And when you lose one that you had within the grasp of your hands like that, you know, it hurts. So, but that's a good sign. If your team didn't care, then you know, the outward showing of how that stung wouldn't have been there. So, you know, our guys were visibly upset, but they'll be at practice today, and they know that if indeed Southern Durham's number one in the state, then we're right there with them.
Absolutely. And Coach Moser, I know you've been doing this a long time. If you would give us a minute synopsis of what lies ahead for your team in the state playoffs, et cetera, and what are the realistic chances of the Panthers going all the way?
Well, I think we have a chance. You know, when you get to this level, now you have to play week to week. Every week you can lose. Every team is good. And you have to have a little bit of luck, you know. The ball's got to bounce your way here or there. And you know, anything can happen. You know, everybody, I think, understands that. All these teams are good that are in the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. And our first game is against Lee County. Now, you know, I live in Graham, North Carolina. So does Burton Cates, who is the coach at Lee County. So we go back, we're both Graham boys, and we go back, we've known each other for a long time. He is an extremely good coach. He was at East Randolph for years, won a state championship over there, won a bunch of games at East Randolph. So very, very good coach. Program is on the rise, sort of like ours, I think. They were 8-0 at one point, I think, and then they lost a close game to Terry Sanford, 14-13. Then they lost, or they were upset last week by Southern Lee in a close game, but very good team, very good defense, good quarterback, a good offensive system, and well coached. So, you know, Lee County is a tough first round draw, but that's what we have to face, you know, when we come in second in the conference.
I think it's pretty safe to say that there won't be many surprises in this game because you guys know each other so well, you know so much about each other's program. So it's just a matter of going out there and executing, as they say. And Coach Moser, we wish you a lot of luck. It's been an outstanding season so far, and let's put the cherry on top.
That's exactly what we're going to try to do. But thank you very much.
Good luck moving ahead, and we appreciate your getting up and being with us this morning. That is Coach Pat Moser, Orange High School football coach, and what a year it's been for them. And let's hope they can pull it together and win some more games here and show the world that they are that great team that we talked about who can find a way to win. It is 8:28 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The News and Observer is at it again. What a surprise. This is Archansky with Monday Sports Notebook. I guess new UNC President Tom Ross and Chancellor Carol Folt felt they had to find out for themselves and commission the Weinstein Report to get some facts that were unavailable in the previous investigations into Carolina's academic scandal. Maybe a more seasoned president and chancellor would have had more savvy, declared that we know what went wrong, we fixed everything, and moved on. The Weinstein Report answered some questions and connected some dots, but it only confirmed what previous probes had revealed, that irregularities were going on in the AFM department, and they have since been corrected. The report brought on another wave of bad publicity regionally and nationally and breathed new life into the News and Observer's obsessive digging into the story. Now it seems like the NNO is hell-bent on nailing the Carolina basketball program. Dan Kane's latest story Sunday focused on just how many AFM paper classes were taken by basketball players between 2000 and 2007, a period where the easy go-to classes at Carolina were being run fraudulently by office administrator Deborah Crowder. But other than giving people more to talk about around the water coolers of the world, it's really nothing new. There remains no corroborated proof that any basketball players cheated on anything. In fact, other than credibility challenge Rashard McCants, all other players on those teams signed a statement that said they all did the work they were assigned. And that is the point. Taking easy classes, even the absurd ones that Crowder set up, and doing whatever those classes call for is not a violation of anything, except the trust parents and students put in the University of North Carolina to offer a legitimate education. Who among us did not look for easy classes? Advisors in Steel Building were sending students who needed a class to graduate over to AFM so they could find what they were looking for. There are no papers available from 10 years ago, and though all the clustering and the easy assignments look terrible, athletes doing the work in such paper classes isn't on those athletes, or the non-athletes who also took the classes. That is squarely on the university, which deserves a hefty fine from the NCAA for a lack of institutional control. It is not going to result in any championship being vacated or any banners coming down. The egg's on UNC's face where it belongs. This is Archansky. See ya.
Stanley Martin Homes is proud to present their new model home open now in Winmore, a classic village of new homes just off Homestead Road in Chapel Hill. Stanley Martin's three home designs, priced from the 370s, combine the best in energy efficiency and beautiful design. And Winmore is right on the UNC bus route. For kids, there's a pool and playground, and Sewell Elementary and Chapel Hill High School are in the walk zone. There's conservation woodland space and walking and jogging trails for the whole family to enjoy. Come visit Stanley Martin Homes at Winmore, or go to stanleymartin.com.
Change your plans on Monday. The Carolina Coffee Shop is now open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. on weekdays and 9 a.m. on the weekend. North Carolina's oldest restaurant has more that's new, like an espresso bar with professionally trained baristas. The Carolina Coffee Shop is now the one-stop shop for the best in breakfast, lunch, and dinner, serving the freshest in local fare. And its espresso bar. Check out CarolinaCoffeeShop.com, plus Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for daily deals and specials. The Carolina Coffee Shop, now open on Monday.
If you've been looking for a different healthcare experience, visit Chapel Hill Primary Care. Built on the promise of prompt, compassionate, and personalized care, Chapel Hill Primary Care provides patient-centered preventative medical care and treatment of acute as well as chronic health conditions for adolescents and adults. And now, Chapel Hill Primary Care is accepting Medicare. And if you are a new recipient of Medicare, call us today or visit chapelhillprimarycare.com to schedule your Welcome to Medicare preventative visit. At Chapel Hill Primary Care, patients really do come first. Immediate appointments available.
Radio spot for the Carrboro Film Festival. Take one.
The Carrboro Film Festival.
Okay, Don, say it. Can you say it?
In a world.
Nice. What else can you say?
The Con of the Carolinas.
Yes. How about Paris of the Piedmont?
Right here in the Paris of the Piedmont.
Ooh, that's good. November 22nd and 23rd at the Carrboro Century Center. Details at CarrboroFilmFestival.com.
In a world, the Carrboro Film Festival.
For the best burgers and fries in town and where kids eat free on Sundays, head to Buns in Chapel Hill. Right in the heart of downtown, on Columbia Street between Franklin and Rosemary, Buns sells amazing burgers every day for a taste and a price the whole family will love. And remember, on Sundays, you can purchase one adult combo and receive one free kids meal. So when you're craving burgers, take the family to Buns. It's burger perfection.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather, 37 degrees. Lots of sunshine today. High today in the middle 60s. Tonight we're looking at clear skies with a low in the low 40s. And then tomorrow, Veterans Day, partly sunny with a high of about 70 degrees. Tomorrow is also RSVVP Day. We'll tell you all about that coming up in just a few minutes.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
834 at WCHL, as I said, 36 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. A little on the chilly side this morning. Our high today is going to be in the middle 60s. As the fallout continues from the Weinstein Report, former UNC football player Michael McAdoo has filed a class action lawsuit against the university. The lawsuit says UNC denied McAdoo a quality education by steering him into fraudulent classes in the African and Afro-American Studies Department. McAdoo is one of the football players declared ineligible back in 2010 for getting improper benefits, including improper assistance on papers. He filed suit against the school then as well to restore his eligibility, and it was that lawsuit that led to the discovery of the FM scandal when bloggers on an NC State site noticed that McAdoo had plagiarized one of the school papers he'd submitted as evidence to the court. The current lawsuit was filed in Charlotte last week. More than 3,000 students, about half of those athletes, took those bogus paper classes in the FM department during the 1990s and 2000s. The NNO reports that the players in the NCAA champion 2005 basketball team, which included many FM majors, took a combined total of 35 paper classes during the 2004-2005 academic year alone. Chapel Hill Town Council will discuss a plan to improve the intersection of Fordham Boulevard and Ephesus Church Road when the council meets tonight. The roadway redesign aims to fix one of the most congested intersections in town and make it easier to get in and out of Rams Plaza Shopping Center. If the council approves the plan, town officials will need to get rights of way and public access easements from property owners on both sides of Ephesus Church and along Fordham Boulevard at Rams Plaza. The cost of the first phase of improvements is estimated to be $2.8 million. The town will find out next month if the projects qualify for funding from the North Carolina Department of Transportation. The council will also hear an update on UNC's development plans on the main campus as well as Carolina North. The council meets tonight at 7 o'clock in council chambers at Chapel Hill Town Hall. The average age of a newly diagnosed cancer patient here in the United States is 67. The director of the UNC Limeburger Geriatric Oncology Program said that's one reason he hopes to see a lot of older cancer patients and their families at a free public forum at the Friday Center coming up this Friday. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
We'll have experts, we'll have workshops, forums, we'll have time to meet a lot of the faculty at UNC Lineberger who take care of older patients.
That includes surgeons, oncologists, chemotherapy experts, and radiation experts, according to Dr. Hai Muss, the director of the UNC Lineberger Geriatric Oncology Program. The Friday event, Cancer and Older Adults, Care and Treatment, is free and open to the public from 1 until 5 p.m. There will be a reception afterward.
We hope that a lot of older people who are affected with cancer will come because frequently they have a lot of questions they haven't asked their doctors or nurses.
Cancer is tough for everyone who deals with it, but it presents specific challenges for older adults, their families, and their caregivers. One of those is finding treatment options that allow older patients to maintain independence.
We don't want cancer treatment to take someone who's a functional older adult and for a very small gain put them in assisted living or the requirement for family care all the time.
Muss added that doctors need to take care not to either hold back treatment breakthroughs for older cancer patients, nor to go overboard with options that are too vigorous. It's a fine balance best achieved on a patient-by-patient basis.
There's a tendency to say, oh, he's or she's old, they're not interested in state-of-the-art treatment. It's untrue. We need to personalize it.
And as the aging population in the U.S. continues to grow, so will the number of older cancer patients, he added. You can register for Friday afternoon's event at the Friday Center at unclineberger.org, and that link is available in this story on our website, chapelboro.com, or you can call 919-966-7888. That's 919-966-7834. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 8:38. I'm Rod Sutz, and tomorrow is a really special day. If you've been around town for a while, you know what RSVVP is all about. And for one thing, it's all about Irene Brickerman. Irene, how are you?
I am doing fine. Thank you for letting me come on and speak my piece this morning, Ron. Good to be with you.
Give us a brief history, if you would, of the RSVVP event. First of all, what does that stand for? And second of all, what has happened leading up to now?
Well, RSVVP is a takeoff of Respondez-vous si vous plaît. And we put in an extra V to get 10%. Each V is a 5, mm-hmm. Roman numeral 5. So restaurant share 5 plus 5%. One day a year, restaurants that sign a pledge card promise to send us a check for 10% of their gross receipts for that day. And it's always second Tuesday of November.
Irene, you have been involved in this from the very beginning.
Yes,
how did it all start?
Well, I was sent as a representative of the Interfaith Council to the food bank, who got the suggestion from the food bank of Greater Baltimore as a fundraiser, and the food bank in Raleigh thought it would be a good idea to make this a triangle-wide event and invited an agency each from Durham and Chapel Hill to join them. And after 2 years of we couldn't get it off the ground, we couldn't get our sponsors worked out, I said, I'm ready to go. I have good help in Chapel Hill. We've got a radio station. We can get TV, public service ads. We've got print media. So in 1989, we did it independently in Chapel Hill and hope to learn from what we did. Barbara Hardin was our honorary chairperson that year, and that's how we started out.
Now, this whole event is for the benefit of the IFC, to feed the areas hungry. But more than any other single person, you are identified so closely with the RSVVP event. Because you've worked so hard over the years, and you've done an amazing job. In fact, you've had more participating restaurants here in the Chapel Hill Carborough community than the entire triangle can put together.
Exactly.
For so many years. First of all, it speaks to the generosity of our community.
We have a great restaurant community, and bless their hearts, they are asked over and over and over again for dinners and fundraisers, and they keep coming back. We have a three-pronged program. We need to get our sponsors on board. And WCHL has been there from day one through this 26th year, the Daily Tar Heel and Chapel Hill News. So we got our sponsors, and then we've got to get our restaurants on board. We do have a big recruiting program, and then we have to get our diners out.
How many restaurants do you have this year?
This year we have 114 restaurants all over town, north, south, Southern Village, Timberline, Chapel Hill North, any part of town, East Franklin, West Franklin, Eastgate, every cuisine. We've got Greek and we've got Mexican and we've got we still have 6 restaurants we have done every year since we started in 1989.
Yeah, which 6 of those? You know them off the top of your head.
I'm just going to read Carolina Crossroads, a Carolina Inn, mm-hmm. Crook's Corner, Il Palio, Sal's Pizza and Restaurant, Weather Vane, and Weaver Street Market in Carborough.
Yeah, and well over 100 in all, and it really is a great event. Everybody participates in it. And if you don't do it, you're going to be left out. So you got to do it. You're going to probably eat out at some point during the day or night anyway. This is good for breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinner, late night, whatever. During that calendar day, 10% goes to the cause. And yeah. Irene, what drives you to do this? You've been involved in not only the RSVVP event for the benefit of the IFC, but you have been involved in so many charitable organizations and helping to make this community a better place. What drives you to do this?
Well, I have been asked one time, what's your pay? And I said, my pay is seeing people that need help get help. And there's so many different ways. Hunger is a problem that has a solution. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to be involved with something that you know there's results. The community kitchen had an increase in their meals this past fiscal year. Over 85,000 meals have been served, and that was a dramatic increase from previous years. But no one has ever questioned when they come to the door. And the emergency food pantry has been serving more than 4,000 families and individuals. And they come in for a boost over a couple of weeks when the paycheck doesn't match the length of the month.
Now, the RSVVP event is that's restaurants giving 5% and 5% all day long tomorrow. Every meal counts. Please get out and eat at a participating restaurant, and that's just about everybody. And if someone wants to get a list of those restaurants, find out more about this whole thing, how do they do that?
Well, we've got print in the Chapel Hill News and in the Daily Tar Heel Friday and today and tomorrow, the mm-hmm. list is there. If not, you can go to the IFC's website. It's www.ifcweb.org/events/RSVVP.
And tomorrow just happens to be Veterans Day, so let me recommend that you take a veteran for lunch.
What a good idea. Yeah. What a good idea.
You can combine two different celebrations there. So, Irene, thank you very much for everything you do.
And thank you, Ron. Thanks for all you do to get our word out. I mean, if no one knew to do this, it would be kind of sad, but just be sure you're at a participating restaurant.
Exactly. And you can find a tent card or, you know, there's signs in the windows and
table
all that
tents.
Sort of thing. So you can find out very easily. Hey, thank you so much, Irene.
My pleasure, Ron.
Have a great day and hold it all together tomorrow.
Well, I'll be eating all I do all day and take home for the next.
That's great. It's 8:45 at WCHL.
We ask several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. We ask their children, too. Here's what Francis George had to say.
Last year, my mom and dad were living in Michigan, and my father was in very poor health at the time, and we were all really worried about him. I was watching the attention that he was getting at the hospital, and they said, well, we've done all that we can. We have to discharge you, and here's a list of nursing homes that you can take him to in case mom can't handle him. And I said, that's it. I got them down to the Cedars, and the staff attended to all of his needs, and mom didn't have to worry about making meals or cleaning the house or getting transportation or driving around. And she could just focus on dad and his recovery. And within a few short weeks, everything turned completely around. I think it was a miracle. Dad regained his health and his independence. I never dreamed I would see my parents so active and vibrant and engaged in life again. I'm really glad that I chose the Cedars.
Thanks, Francis. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
At Great Outdoor Provision Company, we know the gift of adventure is one size fits all. Our friendly, knowledgeable staff are ready to help you shop for that special backpacker, paddler, angler, or climber in your life. And once you find that perfect gift, don't forget about Trusty's free signature wrapping station, a tradition that really catches eyes beneath the tree. So remember, explore global and shop local this holiday season with Great Outdoor Provision Company. Discover your local shop at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Why is R&R Grill your Sunday brunch destination? From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., every entree is made to order in their scratch kitchen. Beginning at noon, enjoy fresh, handcrafted cocktails and bottomless mimosas. At 1 o'clock, come for your favorite NFL games. Dine inside or enjoy the fall weather on the spacious, covered patio and stay until the games are over. R&R Grill, 137 East Franklin Street in the CVS Plaza building. Plenty of free parking on Sunday. See you there.
Hey, see you there tonight if you're one of the finalists in our big contest to go to the Bahamas and watch the Tar Heels play basketball. It happens tonight at R&R Grill, downtown, the Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance Carolina Basketball Bahamas Giveaway presented by Continental Tire. You're going to see if you are our winner in the 2014 Battle for Atlantis featuring Carolina, UAB, Oklahoma, Butler, Wisconsin, Georgetown, Florida, and UCLA. A star-studded lineup there. All right, we have today's commentary coming up in just a moment here on WCHL. But before we get to that, let's take a look at your morning traffic and weather together on WCHL. And we'll start with traffic. It's brought to you by the Carolina Inn. And here is the inimitable Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. Nobody's ever called me that before, by the
way.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, good. Maybe it'll stick.
Maybe. If you're traveling 54 eastbound approaching I-40, traffic starting to ease up a bit. Still a little crowded in spots from Fordham Boulevard. 40 eastbound also slow in spots from as you approach 751 through Highway 55 into RTP. Southbound Durham Freeway also seeing a little bit of crowding as well as you approach I-40 from Cornwallis. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Okay, well, thank you for all your hard work this morning.
Oh, you're welcome.
And it's been a pleasure, and I guess I'll see you tomorrow morning.
You will.
Listen for news updates throughout the day at the bottom of the hour with Nikki Morse on WCHL. All right. Have a good day. The Carolina Inn has brought you this look at your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Now, turning to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, brought to you by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. It looks like this, 37 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Sunshine, high today in the middle 60s. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 40s. And then tomorrow, Veterans Day, partly sunny with a high of about 70 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low in the middle 40s. And then on Wednesday, mostly sunshine with a high in the upper 60s. A few really good days in a row here. The Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce presents the Salute to Community Heroes on December 11th. Nominate someone you know to get recognition for their volunteerism and commitment to our community. Visit carolinachamber.org/salute. The deadline for nominees is November 19th. 8:49 at WCHL. Good morning.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. Hardly a day goes by without a media story about credit card theft. Security is a top priority. Major companies provide credit card protection services. Lots of advice is shared, both by security professionals and friends. One suggestion that I have adopted is not to put my signature on credit cards, but instead print boldly in that space, ask for photo ID. I don't know the evidence of the effectiveness of this approach, but it has got to be more effective than the use of undecipherable scrawls. How would anyone validate that a signature is indeed the signature of the person presenting the card? Isn't comparing my live, handsome face with the stunning portrait on my driver's license more reassuring than a signature? Two things have amazed me about this practice. First, I would guess that maybe 1 out of 10 merchants or servers even bothers to turn the card over to check the signature box. Of those, a tiny fraction ask for my photo ID, sometimes apologetically. As I show my driver's license, I thank them for even asking. Second, an occasional merchant or governmental official has warned me that they cannot accept a credit card without a signature. That's right, a scrawl somehow satisfies a commercial or governmental security interest, but an official ID shown by the live owner of that ID does not. I understand that the type of credit card misuse or theft that I am describing is just the tip of the iceberg of credit card crime. I understand that affixing my signature is part of an ancient practice signifying my duty to meet this obligation to pay. I understand the importance of standardized policies, but such policies should have a logical relationship to the intended goal, shouldn't they? I am curious to know what I am missing. This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM.
WCHL.
8:51 at WCHL coming up. Your WCHL hometown hero in just a couple of minutes here. It's 8:51, as I said, 38 degrees now, beginning to warm up a little bit. And if you remember the word of the day from Wayne Pond, it's actually two words. If you remember the word, call me right now, 919-929-WCHL. Tell me the words of the day. It's all one phrase, sort of, I guess. 919-929-WCHL is your number to call. And I will give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers if you're the first person to get in here with that correct answer. It's all brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Your number to call one more time right now, 919-929-WCHL.
The following 10 seconds of Yodeling Bacon is brought to you by Cameron's at 300 East Main Street in Carrboro. The previous 10 seconds of Yodeling Bacon was brought to you by Cameron's at 300 East Main Street in Carrboro. Cameron's, a gallery of gifts, jewelry, cards, toys, and highly entertaining off-the-wall stuff. Cameron's, a wonderland of gifts.
News is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
Chapel Hill Primary Care welcomes Sarah Calvert. Sarah, who will serve as a primary care provider, is a graduate of the UNC School of Nursing. Sarah and her colleagues at Chapel Hill Primary Care provide patient-centered preventive medical care and treatment of acute as well as chronic health conditions for adolescents and adults. And Chapel Hill Primary Care is now welcoming new patients, including patients with Medicare. At Chapel Hill Primary Care, patients really do come first. To schedule an appointment with Sarah, visit chapelhillprimarycare.com.
Radio spot for the Carrboro Film Festival. Take one.
The Carrboro Film Festival.
Okay, Don, say it. Can you say it?
In a world.
Nice. What else can you say?
The Con of the Carolinas.
Yes. How about Paris of the Piedmont?
Right here in the Paris of the Piedmont.
Ooh, that's good. November 22nd and 23rd at the Carrboro Century Center. Details at CarrboroFilmFestival.com.
In a world. The Carrboro Film Festival.
It's 8:54 at WCHL. Congratulations to Don Reinfurt, who called in with our word of the day. Actually, a couple of words. Devil's advocate. That is someone who loves to argue just for the sake of argument. Someone who points out something that will cause an argument, that sort of thing. Devil's advocate. I know a lot of people who are devil's advocate every single day. Don Reinfurt gets a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. Thank you very much for all the phone calls. A lot of calls this morning. Could not answer them all. I apologize for that. Don Reinfurt is our winner. $10 gift certificate to Cruisers.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Timna Underside is today's WCHL hometown hero.
I created Respect the Raise after my third melanoma-related diagnosis, which was in 2012. It's evolved from a simple Facebook page to an organization that educates, is part of a larger melanoma community, is a blog, is a place to come and feel connected to others. It's also about letting people know that this disease, melanoma, is not just about skin, but that it can spread to other areas of the body and be deadly. It's also a place to empower people, to let them know how to protect themselves.
Timna Understein knows.
I grew up in Southern California on the beach, always in the sun and loving it. Even with warnings from my dermatologist about the risk of skin cancer, I continued to tan into adulthood. My belief was that skin cancer was just of the skin and that if I got it, they would just cut it out and I'd be fine. However, at age 38, I got my first diagnosis with melanoma and learned quickly it was not just a disease of the skin. And I was in total fear and I let the fear rule my life. Then I got a second melanoma diagnosis, and that was the tipping point for me where I had to turn this new melanoma life into something positive, and that's kind of how Respect the Raise was born.
Timna Understein works hard to get the word out, to tell the story, and to help other people.
Aside from the Facebook, the Twitter, and all the social media, I go into local schools to educate young people about sun safety and melanoma. I create developmentally appropriate programs based on my audience. So, for example, Hill at Chapel Hill High School. I do an interactive PowerPoint program, which is very thorough and detailed. But for elementary school kids, I teach them a song. They learn about sun safety through music and movement.
And Timna says tanning beds are definitely not safe.
It's very dangerous. Here's a statistic that's pretty scary. People who first use tanning beds before the age of 35 increase their risk for melanoma by 75%.
Working on a tan is just not worth it.
Basically, UV radiation, whether from the sun or from a tanning bed, is classified as a human carcinogen, which means that an exposure to it can lead to cancer.
Her organization is called Respect the Rays. Timna Understein is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Automall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Automall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Automall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
Well, I'm Victoria Sylvester, and I'm the Vapor Girl. The Vapor Girl, it's basically a handle that I used on online forums before I began my business, when I was just interested in researching and figuring out what vaping was all about. I had ordered a kit. I'd always been interested in electronics, and I'm like, oh, cool. You know, I'd been smoking for decades, and as soon as I tried it out, I loved it, and I never went back to smoking after that. But unfortunately, I could never find any flavors that I liked, so I had to learn how to make my own e-liquids. Then I also started researching the hardware portion of the whole vaping thing. The hardware consisted of black, blue, maybe you could spot a red one, but there was nothing interesting. And so I found that there were some factories overseas that were making the hardware. So I hooked up with them and started designing some pieces that I thought would be really beautiful. Then I realized that I had to order in such a large quantity in order to get them to even take me seriously. So I thought, maybe I could run a small business, maybe sell to a few friends or something online. And that's how it all began. The phone number that we can be reached at the factory location, so 919-338-8182. Well, I'm Victoria Sylvester, and I'm the Vapor Girl.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech, online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 38 degrees, sunshine's going to start to warm up here quickly. High today in the middle 60s, tonight clear with a low in the low 40s, and then tomorrow, Veterans Day, mostly sunny with a high of about 70 degrees. It's 9 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. It's an early winter in the upper Midwest. If you're a plow driver, it's time to get to work.
Kind of bummed out because it's starting so early. I remember 91.
And the heavy snow that moved into the Dakotas over the weekend has Monday morning rush hour drivers slipping and sliding in the Twin Cities. WCCO-TV's Rachel Slavik is braving the elements in Minneapolis.
Right now, the conditions aren't great on the roads. There's snow, there's ice. Drivers are taking it very slow. We're seeing accidents all over the region.
Government forecaster Andrew Orison says this is going to be more than a calling card.
1.5 feet of snow, especially tonight and tomorrow morning, across parts of eastern Minnesota, across northern and central Wisconsin, even areas around Minneapolis. We'll be seeing heavy snowfall.
And a bulge in the jet stream will push temperatures as much as 40 degrees lower in the next few days, all the way to Georgia. Veterans Affairs Secretary Bob McDonnell is ready to spell out major changes to remake one of the government's biggest bureaucracies.
The primary thing is we're going to do everything from the veteran's perspective. Every decision we make, every criteria we use is going to be about the veteran. We're calling it My VA.
McDonnell tells CBS's Scott Pelley more than 1,000 workers could be punished for covering up long treatment delays at VA hospitals. A lawyer who's suing General Motors has released emails that show GM ordered new ignition switches well before it told the government the original ones were defective. CBS's Jeff Gilbert has that.
GM's urgent order for 500,000 replacement parts came December 18th.
but the recall wasn't announced until February 7th, the Wall Street Journal quoting internal emails. GM's critics call this disturbing. GM says it followed all government rules, and its own internal investigation showed there was no cover-up.
30 deaths have been linked to defective GM ignition switches. Drone sightings at football games are raising safety concerns. Live to CBS News correspondent Vicki Barker.
In the 1977 film Black Sunday, Palestinian terrorists crash a bomb-laden blimp into the Superdome Stadium. Well, today, any sports fan with a few hundred dollars to spend can now fly their own private Goodyear blimps, something aviation experts are calling an accident waiting to happen. The Washington Post says the FAA is investigating the growing problem of rogue drones at sports events, violating airspace restrictions that could endanger passing aviation and fans alike. Frank?
Search parties are looking for at least 11 hikers who didn't return from a weekend outing in a Southern California nature preserve. KNX reporter Pete Demetrio tells us they're well equipped to deal with the rugged elements.
This is a group of experienced people. They've done this several times before, so they're aware of the area and the trails. They have some wilderness survival skills.
After almost 4 years of civil war in Syria, dictator Bashar Assad says a proposal for a series of local ceasefires is worth studying. The ceasefires would allow aid to reach areas that have been cut off by the fighting. S&P futures are up about 2 points just ahead of the opening. This is CBS News.
You remember the 007 movies? The name is Bond, James Bond. The man who saved the world time and time again, who always had a